Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all go learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, AKA, TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause he ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all precious, stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're strolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
This is the Ryan Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. One time for all the people checking us out, whether you're checking us out on your favorite streaming platforms, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Audio Mac, whether it's SoundCloud, whether it's MixCloud. One time for all the people checking us out on all the streaming platforms throughout the country. One time for all the people who check us out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WRFG 89.3 FM. One time for everybody that subscribed up to us on all social media platforms. All right? Real quick, man, one time for the good people over at live365.com. Last year, when the pandemic said, voila, we launched our very own internet radio station, Ride 95, in conjunction with Live365, and we are the home of what's next in hip-hop and R&B. Now, the way to access us is very, very easy. All you got to do is go to live365.com. Once you're there, go into that search engine. Once you're in that search engine, type in RIDE, R-I-D-E, the number 9, the number 5. Then click on that station logo. Once you click on that logo, we will pop up in your face. Bam! And you'll have music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All right, now, if you want to check us out via your mobile device, it's also just as easy. All you have to do is download the Live365 app. Once you download that app, go to that search engine, type in Ride95, click on that logo, and again, voila, we are right there giving you, again, music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the best in what's next in hip-hop and R&B. Please lock us in. Please lock us in, all right? Okay, now you know what this is. This is the Ryan Dirty Show. We provide a platform for those people who are definitely moving, shaking, and changing things. We provide the opportunity for them to tell their story. And today is no different than any other day on this platform. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ryan Dirty platform. Artist Zay Zay. What's going on, my G?
What's going on?
Man, maintaining. I want to start this thing off by saying welcome to the platform. I'm very humble, and I appreciate you taking out your time to sit down and chop it up with us.
No, of course, man. I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity.
All right, man, look, let's get into it, man. We got a few minutes, so let's get into it. Let's take a ride in the life of Zay Zay. The first thing I want to ask you is, where are you from?
Born and raised in Liberia, Africa. That's West Africa. Painesville Village, Monrovia, to be exact.
Okay. How did you get introduced to hip-hop in Liberia?
I honestly didn't. My country is known for war and human cannibalism, to be honest with you. So we've been saying growing up, the traditional household, family, African, I didn't see running water, power nothing until I was 11. So it was a civil war in my country, and my mother fled through the civil war and brought me and my other family members out here. So I ain't really start making music till I got out of prison at 23, probably 24. All my homies pushed me to do it based on my life story. You know what I'm saying? They just understand what I've been through. You know what I'm saying? And how, like, I'm saying just some of the things I spoke on, some of the things I endured. Music actually formed me, honestly.
All right, so look, hold on now. Now, you said your mom fled Africa when you were 11 years old.
Yeah, like 11, 10. It was a civil war in my country, Liberia. You can look it up everywhere. You know, it was going crazy. People was killing each other. I'm a war baby. You know what I'm saying? So for a chance of a better life, my mother made that sacrifice to bring me and my four stepbrothers out here.
All right, man. What was that journey like for you, 11-year-old or 10-year-old? What was that journey like, man, just traveling from basically escaping your country, coming to the States? What was that journey like for someone so young?
Honestly, it was crazy. Now that I sit back and think about it, because I'm saying it's like, you know, I sometimes imagine that as a kid, you know, your parents might get divorced, you might move to another state to start over. I had to move from a whole different country. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, in my country, we still don't have, like I said, don't have running water, power, nothing. So, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I'm saying this, but, like, in Liberia and Africa, and some people look at the United States as, like, the golden ticket. Like, everything you want is just in your hands when you come to the United States. So the transition over of me not really speaking proper English, or it wasn't clear and defined to people, still kind of having that broken English, that slang. You feel me? I'm dark as hell. You feel what I'm saying? Short kid from Africa. Like, just that was very tough. You know what I'm saying? Being called African Buddhist strategist. Because when I moved to Detroit at that age, I mean, it wasn't cool to be African back then. You know what I'm saying? Like it is now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody African, people who ain't African still claiming it. So it wasn't cool back then. So it was very tough, especially growing up in Detroit. Detroit wasn't diverse at all. You know what I'm saying? I think I was, like, the only African kid in my school for, like, months. I remember principals getting on loudspeakers and saying stuff like, welcome, Jay-Z, to America. This is the first time seeing snow. Like, it was very hard, for sure.
All right. Now, how long did it take you to actually adapt to the country?
It took me a while. I actually started rebelling. I got tired of it. You see, I got tired of getting picked on and things like that. So, took me a while to really get adjusted. I kind of started, like I said, rebelling, started getting in trouble. So I think I ain't really accept being African, honestly, until I was like 23.
Okay. So did you, were you able to basically come into Detroit, enroll in school and finish up your schooling, or like how was the education for you?
I mean, it's crazy. They treated me like I was an alien or something. See, when you come from Africa, you know what I'm saying? Like, so in Africa, I think I was like, you know, like, I was advanced in Africa, in Africa terms in Liberia, because I was like 2 grades ahead of my age. But coming back to the United States, I don't really value the education in Africa, so they put me a grade back. You know what I'm saying? My actual age. So it was like they made you go through certain stuff because they feel like you're not at the level you should be. So it was definitely hard. Teachers weren't really trying to help me out because it was like a language barrier. I didn't really understand what they were saying. People were moving fast. You know what I'm saying? So, as a kid, the best thing to do is act out when you're not feel like you're getting hurt, for sure. So, it took me a while. I think I got put out of most public schools I went through. You know what I'm saying? And that wasn't just because I was a bad kid. I just wasn't getting hurt. Like, I was misunderstood, I feel like. And I was like, they were trying to get me to adapt too fast, and it really wasn't hitting me. And like other kids.
Okay, now, what was the adaptation like for your mother? I mean, because she had to start all over, too. Like, what was the job situations like? How did the neighborhoods treat her? Like, what was that like for her and just you guys as an entire family? Like, how were y'all able to hold it together?
Man, honest with you, we wasn't, if you think about it. My mom in Africa, you know, she has some type of, she had, of course, she built a reputation and name for herself. My mom played basketball. She was on a part of the Olympic team. Much like 6'2". So coming from a country where people know you, respect you, to coming here, to having to work 3 jobs and support your kids. Not the same. Like I said, a lot of people in Africa see America as a golden ticket. And I really understand you really got to bust your ass. Well, I don't know how to curse, but bust your butt and work, you know what I'm saying, for everything that you want in life. So it was hard on my mother. Like, I know she was going through a lot. You speak to her now, she was depressed. And a lot of things going through it because a single mother trying to take care of me and my other stepbrothers working 3-4 jobs to make ends meet, not the life that she expected of giving her up, you know what I'm saying, Africa to move out here.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that you didn't get into the music until, and if I heard you correctly, until you got out of prison. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, I went to prison at 18. Had a little big case, so I ended up going to – actually, I ended up actually getting sentenced for, like, almost, like, 20 years at 18. Sitting in jail for, like, 2 or 3 years, appealing it, and I'm getting some time knocked off. So I pretty much got 10 years. I did 2.5. But then I went through some other situation, like them trying to deport me and all type of extra stuff. So it was definitely hard for my family. So like I said, in that situation,
okay,
I wasn't thinking about music. You know what I'm saying? Here in Africa, you're going to be a nurse, a doctor, or something that type of field. That's what we was told as kids. Music was nothing. Like, I don't know no other like being a rapper. And that's why it's so like important to me to really put on and kind of open the eyes to people who aren't like beer. Like, that's a path, career path, because nobody, you know what I'm saying, my country is thinking about that. Every African artist you know is from Nigeria or other country.
Okay. All right. Now, with that being said, at what point did you realize that you have a talent? Because you never pursued music. So were you like, were you freestyling amongst friends? Like, where did you realize, like, man, I have a...
Honestly, I wouldn't do none of that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Honestly, be real with you, I wouldn't do none of that. Like I said, I didn't freestyle, I didn't write music, I didn't try to make music in jail, I didn't write, like, it's hard, like, people still don't believe when I tell them, but, like, none of that was part of my life. Like, I got out of prison, I worked the downtown locker room, Columbia, Maryland. I ended up going to college, played college ball for a couple of years, JUCO, Howard Community College in Maryland. Like, music was not a part of my life. Like I said, my friends influenced me. Like, bro, just try. Like, yo, their story got to be heard. I actually ended up making a song off, like, Turn Around, and it became my therapy because nobody could understand what I was going through. I couldn't talk to my mother about what I was going through because, you know, she still felt like – she took it as still traditional African way. You can make it. If she can make it, I can make it. So she wasn't trying to hear no complaints. Nobody was trying to understand, really hear what I was going through. So music just became my therapy. Like, I didn't write raps at all. Like, I couldn't even tell you. I didn't grow up on music. I couldn't watch BET until I was, like, 18.
Yeah. Dang.
Real. Like, nothing. Dang. Like, nothing. Nobody in my soul music related. Nobody, nothing. No church, anything.
All right. So you start to tell your story. Your friends encourage you to do it. Like, how easy did it come for you?
I ain't gonna say it came easy, but it really wasn't hard because I'm speaking from the heart. Like, I feel like I make soul music. So in order for me to make a song, I really got to feel it. I can have a conversation with you about some topics, and we can talk about some personal stuff. Of that conversation, I can make a song about it because I really feel what I'm saying. Like, that passion is there. So, like, it's not easy. It got to be something I'm going through.
Okay. All right. Now, when you started to pursue it, like, what steps did you take? Were you finding beats? Were you finding producers? Were you finding studios? Like, what were the beginning steps for you? Because there are a lot of people who want to get into the game, and they've been dreaming about it for 20 years. Like, this was something that you just started doing within the past 5 years. So what steps did you take to start to build your career?
Find some people who actually see your vision or in some way believe your vision. So shout out to my manager, Jay, James, Tope, and all my team for sure. I started just using YouTube beats. Then, you know what I'm saying, like, after a while, I started the game crazy. I came in the game, like, I already made it. Like, I was already doing certain stuff. So I came in the game already, like, pulling up a Rolls Royce in my hood and shooting videos and things like that, like, not really understanding the process. I took a few steps back. And once I got on my team, they started telling me, like, you got to pay for beats. You can't just drop them. You got to go to actual studio time. You can't just record songs in the closet and just things like that. So I would say having people around me who told me what steps it was to make my music, like the production, better, so I could present it to somebody in the music industry. So my team, really.
All right, now, you talk about pulling up YouTube beats. When you start looking for beats, what vibe were you on for your beats? Did you want something that was heartfelt, something club-wise? Like, what type of beats were you looking for?
When I first started, I tried to do some club stuff. It wasn't for me. Then I started looking up our, believe it or not, R&B beats. I love R&B music. I feel like it's more passion to R&B music. You got to feel it. So I started looking up beats like some artists that I was like, like really, really, you know what I'm saying, in tune with their music. So I started looking up kind of beats that they was kind of on. And then after a while, I started like figuring my style out and beats and things like that. Then I linked with my my producer, engineer, Justin, you know what I'm saying? He kind of like sell my vibe out and then kind of just helped me figure that out. So I'll say, yeah, thanks to Justin. I ended up meeting an engineer who kind of felt the vibe I was going for, but I couldn't put my finger on it. So he helped me kind of find that sound.
Okay. All right. Now, when we listen to your music, are we going to hear any, first of all, are you going to be repping Liberia? Are you going to be encouraging other people from Liberia to actually pursue their dreams? Or are we going to hear more tales from the United States? Or what can we expect to hear from Zay Zay?
You're going to hear both, honestly, because like I said, man, I done did everything. I done play college basketball, come out of prison. You feel me? Like, really college basketball. I was a division athlete, so I can talk about going to college, you know what I'm saying, trying to make some out of nothing, or pretty much going to college based on your mother dreams. Because my mom wanted a degree. I'm not really a person that really was too much into college. So I can speak about everything, going through college, coming from a third world country with poverty, walking 9 miles to school, walking back, no running water, still bathing outside. Like, you're going to hear both of everything. You're going to hear a story. You're going to hear everything. Everything I went through. You want everything. I mean, I'm up for sure. Like, I put Liberia on my back. So you're going to hear me definitely encourage other people from Liberia to really stand up and claim it. Because, like I said, my country is known for a war country. Human killing, I'm saying, like, we're not really known for nothing positive. Nothing. No, anything positive that I can speak about other countries, we still in the dark. We still don't have running water and power. We still don't have GPS. So I'm definitely encourage other people who are from Liberia to stand up and claim it, for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, are you hearing more artists come from Liberia now, or is it still pretty much the same?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know any major artists that's from Liberia, but I know a few people in the industry. Polo G, DJ, that's my boy, I'm saying, DJ Tony. So, yeah, he's Liberian. I know a few people in the industry are Liberian, but not too many artists. So.
Got you. All right, now, at this point, in your career, still early in your career, like what has been some of the hardest struggles for you as an independent artist?
Getting on the platform to really get your message across, that's one of the biggest things as an independent artist. Especially when you're not making music that's kind of like everybody else. My music is kind of different. It's extremely different. I feel like most artists. I don't sound like nobody else. So as an independent artist, like just kind of being patient and waiting till you get a platform to get your message across. A lot of times I feel slept on, for sure, especially investing my own money, my own time and effort into this and not really getting the resource recognition that you feel like you deserve. Sometimes that can discourage you, but kind of just sticking to it, try to get the platform where you can get your message across.
Definitely. All right, now, you have a single that's dropping in a few days, but I want to talk about this single that you actually have an official video to on YouTube called Log Off. Tell me a little bit about Log Off.
I made Log Off song, honestly, just kind of getting tired of social media and Instagram and really deciding to log off. I let my cousin on my Instagram because a lot of time, well, I'm going to speak on me personally. When I came out of prison, I was comparing myself to people who was my age, who was in a better financial position than I was. And you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like messing my head up and kind of had me second guessing myself and things like that. So Log Off is kind of just saying, you feel me, like kind of taking a break from social media and all the faking and clout and things that people are valuing nowadays, taking a break from all that, logging up, kind of focusing on myself. I don't really believe in social media. I feel like social media is fake, so I try not to get too involved into it. So Log Off is one of them songs, you know what I'm saying, to message it. Sometimes just take a break from all that.
All right, now. And I agree with you, man. On social media, there are a lot of people pretending to be things they're not. They're making up stories. But with social media being so important, how important do you feel like social media is to building a career as an artist?
Nowadays, it's very, very important. I'm saying whatever you stand for as a brand, you got to represent on social media. At first, I really didn't understand that because I'm still a human being who got emotions. So when I was going through things like on Instagram and go back and forth with people on Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Like, the regular stuff. Like, I wasn't dissing people, but I was letting people know what I was standing on. I was standing on business, you feel me? Like, that type of stuff. But then I realized, like, as an artist, I can't be rapping about things I'm rapping about or mess I'm trying to get across, positive, give people encouragement and motivation, and still kind of pushing some stuff, you know what I'm saying, on Instagram, guns and things like that. So it do matter, you know what I'm saying, especially if you a brand, you want to create a brand, it definitely matter for sure how you portray yourself, how people going to perceive you, what you post is what people know. So.
All right. Now, I didn't ask this question. I can't let you get off what I asked you. Like, who are some of your influences? Once you start to dive into the music, like, who are some of your influences when it comes to creating?
Oh, dang. That's a hard question. I don't really feel like I have none. Like I said, I didn't grow up in a musical household. So that's a hard question. I mean, it's some artists in the game I definitely mess with, but they're not really big artists, really local artists that I have a strong relationship with. Money Man Cam, my little brother Fat Jack. They motivate me, you know what I'm saying, like the way they make music and things like that. And big artists, I feel like, of course, Drake, you know what I'm saying, Future, those type of rappers. Cause, of course, you know what I'm saying, this, I came up with Chief Keef and some rappers. Like, I was really big on them, you know what I'm saying, in prison, had a radio. That's some of the artists that really came to mind.
Okay. All right. Now, you got a record that's about to drop on the 11th. Tell me the name of that record.
I Wish. I Wish for sure.
Okay, and what's the concept of the record, who produced it, and where will people be able to find it?
I Wish it's going to be out March 11th, all platforms. Video will drop to March 11th. Video shot by my boy Rico shot it. Produced and engineered with my engineer, Justin. Shout out my team for sure to get behind this EQ. I Wish, really, honestly, it's a wish. When I started making music, I was cool with a lot of people, a lot of homies that I was I feel like I was close with. I had that back fully, but as I started making music, I feel like that wasn't reciprocated the same way. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying, they didn't show me the same love that I was showing them. So I Wish is pretty much going back to the fact of me saying, like, I wish before the music and Instagram and, you know what I'm saying, everybody trying to compete to see who got the best jury and all that stuff. Like, before all the fame, when we were still, you know what I'm saying, on the block and in the streets doing what we did, like, that unity that we had, that love, that, you know what I'm saying, that connection we all had, but it's not there no more, so I wish it pretty much just touch up on that.
Okay, all right. Now, what's the anticipation for it, man? Like, how are you feeling like the people are going to receive the record?
I feel like they're going to love it. My true fans for sure are going to love it. I feel like I try to put a piece of my heart in every song I drop. Like, you got to feel it. And it's crazy, I said it every time I get on the mic. Like, they got to feel it. So I feel like they're going to love it. My true fans, they're going to love it. I put time and effort, a lot of time and effort, actually, to everything I do when it comes to video preparation, calls with my team, label, everything. So I feel like my fans who been following me since I started making music 3 years ago are going to love it.
No doubt. All right, now, before we go, man, shout out all your social media platforms, wherever they can find you, and let them know again that release date and where they can pick up I Wish.
I Wish, man, shout out my team first, my managers, my team who will be behind me for sure. I Wish drop March 11th, all platforms. Like I said, you can find it everywhere. I don't know what you're saying. That's pretty much it.
All right, man. If they want to keep up with you on Instagram, if the ladies want to see what Zay look like, give them that
hey,
information.
Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, same name, Zay ZAY_1. You're gonna see my bio, Liberia, Morovia. I'm saying I'm going to stamp it. It's always in my bio. I think that was me. The one only me. So, again, Instagram and Twitter is ZAY_. And you say, I ain't bougie on Instagram. I'm going to follow you back for sure.
All right. Now, look. Now, you said that your mom balled. Said she was 6'2", and she was a baller, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And you said you also played in college, right? Who wins one-on-one between you and your mom?
Hey, man, come on, man. That's mom dude. I ain't going to put on the internet and say, you know, but I would do her end, though. I might dunk on my mom.
No doubt. Zay, man, it was a pleasure talking to you. Look, let's do this. Let's give these people something. Let's wet their taste buds, man. Let's give them a little something to remember you by until March 11th. Do me a favor and introduce this log off to the world.
Hey, man, this is your boy Zay. You feel me? Liberia, finest artist, the one and only, you know what I'm saying? Putting off my country from the west side. This is my single, Log Off, out now on all platforms. I appreciate the opportunity. Tap in with me, man. Instagram, Zay, ZAY_1. Love for life.
Appreciate it, my G.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, man. God bless.